All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And yes, I know that we are not the sports station. I get that, and it is kind of interesting because I did help launch the sports station down the dial along with the Bulldog many, many years ago. Poor Bulldog's back is still sore from carrying me for the 2 years where we worked together. But make no mistake about it, I love Bulldog. I love Chris Parker. Great guy, but that is not what I do. I'm a big picture kind of guy. And I've told you this before, and I don't know how you are, and I get the feeling that we may be a lot alike on this. My life does not live and die. My personal fortunes do not raise and lower based on the outcome of a football game, whether it's the Buffalo Bills or some other team. And I have mentioned this before, but it was, I believe, at the age of around 12 years old where I began to put sports in perspective, because there was not a bigger Buffalo Sabres fan than your humble host. And I've made reference before about how a lot of the legendary games of the 1970s and early 80s, I was there in person. I saw it happen. I mean, I've got a great picture of Lee Fogelin going after Gary Dornhofer of the Flyers after Dornhofer gave our goaltender a cheap shot. So I'm just saying, I was there in that era. But I realized after the Sabres lost the Stanley Cup Finals, 4-2 to the Philadelphia Flyers, and then just to add insult to injury, Rick Dudley went from the Sabres to the Cincinnati Stingers for $1 million. I realized at that point, wait a minute. These players, they don't care about little Tommy. These players don't care about my feelings, and these players don't really care all that much about the fans. To them, it's money. And who can blame them? I say that without any shred of blame in my voice, because look, you've got a finite period of time in which to make as much money as possible. And you, if you were an NFL player, you and your family have to be your own first priority. And I think it's no different for those guys than it is for people like you and me. Our first priority is ourselves and our own bank accounts and our own ability to live the kind of life that we wish to lead. The reality is that it is a business and it is entertainment. And a lot of people, especially in Buffalo and Western New York, a lot of people are absolutely craving, like more so than a turkey leg after a Thanksgiving game. And aren't we glad they're not playing a Thanksgiving game this year? But a lot of people are craving a championship, in particular for the Buffalo Bills, but also for the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, you think about your father, for example, who might have been born in 1930, 1940, may no longer be with us, and basically had to live his entire life, with the exception of the American Football League, right? It had to live his entire life without seeing the Buffalo Bills come home with the Super Bowl trophy, or the Buffalo Sabres skate around with the Stanley Cup trophy. Generation after generation, it's an intergenerational thing, my friends, of Western New Yorkers have been perennially soul destroyed by the fortunes of our sports teams. And the game last night was an absolute disaster. The fact that it was on Monday night didn't exactly help things because, hey, look, it's a national audience. It's nationwide. Oh, look, it's the Denver Broncos. Okay, they've got a 2-game winning streak, but the Buffalo Bills are at home, and they're about ready for a bust-out game. And what happens on the first offensive play? It's like, you've got to be kidding me. And it's almost like a continuation of everything that has gone on this season. And so frustrating. And I'm just kind of curious where you are, big picture, with the Buffalo Bills. And I understand many of you listening, so you've told me over the years, you could not care less about the Buffalo Bills. You've got a major issue with the money being pumped into the stadium. I get it. I understand it, but it's not going to change anything. If it's not spent in Buffalo, they're simply going to build another bridge in Manhattan. And I know how you feel about that. When I look at the deal in total, as far as NFL deals with municipalities and states, I think, frankly, the taxpayers in our stadium deal got a pretty good deal. On balance, I think that the Buffalo Bills probably could have gotten a lot more concessions out of the state and out of Erie County, but it doesn't seem to me like they played all of their cards, like they almost wanted to be good corporate citizens, if that makes any sense, because there are certain provisions in the contract which do protect taxpayers. For example, with cost overruns, which always happen in any major construction project. And I frankly don't think that the representatives of the people got the taxpayers a bad deal. And again, look, I don't like saying this, but this was told to me by a caller many, many years ago, and the caller was right. If it isn't spent around here, it's simply going to be spent in Manhattan. It'll be spent where the votes are in New York City, and then Buffalo will be out of a football team and eventually probably a hockey team as well, because let's not forget that arena. And what's funny is I remember talking about the arena, the newer arena, when it was still an artist's conception. I remember having then Buffalo Common Council President James Pitts in studio, and we're talking about the need for a new hockey arena for the Buffalo Sabres. And I hate to break the news to you, but that discussion is going to heat up in the not-too-distant future, because I know it sounds hard to believe, but that hockey arena in which the Sabres play now is already outdated. And I've heard people who are very familiar with hockey arenas around the National Hockey League say, yeah, this is not a very good building. So I don't know where they screwed up, how they screwed up, and it's weird because when you consider the longevity of the War Memorial Auditorium, otherwise known as the AUD, it's pretty startling that here we are a couple of decades and we're already thinking about a new hockey arena for the Sabres in which to play. So give me your overall thoughts here on what is going on with the Buffalo Bills. And I had forgotten until somebody reminded me that I had said this after the 13-second game, and people didn't like it when I said it. I remember that much, but caller reminded me that I said, unfortunately, I think that 13-second game was about as close as the Buffalo Bills are going to come for a long time in terms of winning a Super Bowl. And it's not been an upward progression for the Buffalo Bills. It's almost like that 13-second game was the high watermark of the current rendition of the Buffalo Bills. And last year they went down against Cincinnati. And this year they're probably not even going to be a playoff team. And they don't deserve to be a playoff team, frankly. And again, I'm sorry. I hope I don't lose my Buffalo card on this, but the Tampa Bay game, Buccaneers got screwed at the end of that game. There's not a doubt in my mind. I know they never call the Hail Mary pass interference. I get that. But in terms of the big scope of things, Bills were lucky to get out of that game with a win, and a couple of the other victories they've had, I think they were lucky to get out of those with a victory. This team is extremely inconsistent, and Marv Levy used to say, don't play dumb and don't play dirty. Well, last night, not so much about the dirty part, but about the dumb part, to lose a National Football League game because there's a guy on the field who should not be on the field is absolutely inexcusable. And I don't know, in reality, where the buck comes to an end on such a knuckleheaded situation, but it was knuckleheaded. It was absolutely embarrassing to go down that way. And those of you who stuck it out until the end, and those of you who invest your money week in and week out, and those of you who buy the merch, who buy the gear, those of you with all of your Bills Mafia shirts and bumper stickers and everything else, and all the busted tables that we've heard about, I feel for you. because I know that this isn't easy to listen to, presuming that you're still listening and you haven't said, screw this guy, I'm going home. But I feel bad for you. Unfortunately, look, my opinion is this is just not a very good football team. Injuries, do they play a role? Yes. And again, I don't know why it is that compared to other teams in the National Football League, we seem to lose a disproportionate number of our better players for the longer term with injuries. It's almost frightening. And what also is frightening, too, is let's not forget, a lot of the core guys of this football team, they are either in their prime or a little bit past their prime for the National Football League. It's not a league where you're going to play 30 years in the National Football League. I mean, I go back and I look at some of the old National Hockey League cards that I have from the early 1970s, and you see guys in the NHL with these 20 and 25 year and longer careers in some cases. And hockey isn't exactly a weak person's game itself, but for some reason seems to be a little more forgiving than the gridiron. Of course, they're not playing with artificial turf instead of ice. That would make hockey very interesting. It would slow out. It would slow down the game, but it would certainly make it interesting. But is there a word, your overall impression on the Buffalo Bills this year? I think that disappointment is certainly a word that comes up. Frustration would be a word that would come up. And when you start talking about losing games on knuckleheaded plays, games that are that crucial, when you are struggling to keep playoff hopes alive, when you can hear that Super Bowl window starting to close and you are giving away games that should have been won, that is it's pretty disturbing. And I would like your thoughts, if you happen to have any, on the Buffalo Bills situation. If you didn't hear, Ken Dorsey was terminated by the Buffalo Bills today. Now, is he going to be the sacrificial lamb? Are there other people who need to be eliminated by the Buffalo Bills organization? I mean, I've heard everything from Brandon Bean's got to go to Sean McDermott's got to go. And, of course, Ken Dorsey has to go. And that, of course, happened today. So the iPads are safe for now. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. But I really do feel very, very bad for those of you who your entire lives are geared around the Bills. You've always got to make sure that you you always have to make sure you've got a babysitter in place for whenever the next game happens to be, and God forbid if the babysitter calls and is not feeling very well. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN if you want to get in on this. And it's hard to read too much into it, but I can't ignore it. The look on the face of Josh Allen, the look on the face of the 2023 version of Josh Allen is not the same look on the face as we saw in the 2021 version of Josh Allen. Now, we all change, okay? We all grow. We all gain experience in life, and I get that. But the old Josh Allen had the face on the sideline and the energy on the sideline of a warrior. And I don't mean that as a disparaging statement toward any particular group. I'm just saying he had the look of a warrior. Nothing is going to get in my way. I'm going to win this game, even if I have to take this team on my own shoulders and do it myself. But I don't see, and again, it can't be measured, it can't be quantified, I don't see that killer instinct in the eyes of Josh Allen. I haven't seen it this season. My impression of this season, if you asked me years from now if I remembered this season, would be of a guy who is constantly looking at the at the electronic gadgets to see what happened, to see how things got so screwed up. I don't see the fire in the belly of Josh Allen like I used to see the fire in the belly. Yeah, I know he's doing real well as far as rushing touchdowns. I get it. But unfortunately, I mean, how many times can you basically throw the ball to a guy on the other team? How many times can you commit stupid fumbles? You've got to be perfect in the National Football League, because if you aren't, somebody else will be, and they're going to take advantage of any mistake you made. And unfortunately, the Bills are making it so easy for other teams to capitalize on the many mistakes they are making. And in particular, 12 men on the field last night was just... It was embarrassing. It was so far beneath what you expect from NFL level coaching and playing that it's kind of hard to wrap your fingers around it. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. If you have any last thoughts on this, I would urge you to call now or call as the news is coming to an end here on WBEN. I've got a lot of things we can talk about today, but for those of you who want to vent about the Buffalo Bills and what we saw last night, I will keep lines open here for another couple of minutes on News Radio 930 WBEN. And look, I'm not trying to make you guys feel miserable. I'm basically trying to give you guys the opportunity to vent because, again, many of you put a lot of your heart and soul into the football team, and frankly, I don't think they're reciprocating with their heart and soul. I think we're getting half-witted and half-assed performances by the Buffalo Bills. By the way, for the record, I would never say that to any of them directly into their faces, because they'd rip my head off and turn my throat into a porta potty. On News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, at least I can play this one. Anyway, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Anybody want to get in any thoughts here while I'm still doing the topic on the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen and where the team is going? And I wish I could say otherwise, but I believe the peak of this edition of the Buffalo Bills may have been the 13-second game. That, I think, was so, honest to goodness, I think that game was so psychologically burdensome to the Buffalo Bills and the people who were on the field or on the sidelines during that game that I think that is, it's got to be maddening for them, and it's got to be a tremendous burden. And, of course, the Hamlin situation last year, that did not help. But as far as watching the team this year, do you feel like you're watching the same team that you've seen in recent years? Because I don't. I really don't. And the Josh Allen situation, it's past the point where you can laugh it off and say, well, everybody's going to have a turnover. Everybody's going to have a bad game. It's become a pattern now. And there are certain statistics in which you don't want to lead the league. And unfortunately, we're seeing that. And Josh Allen isn't getting any younger. And I wish I could tell you that I was optimistic, but I'm not. I'd like to be. I really would like to be, but I'm not. And, you know, even some of our star players who are gone, they are also not getting any younger. And I'm really worried that after many years of lean times for very diehard Buffalo Bills fans, that there may be some more lean times, maybe sooner rather than later. I mean, one guy cannot win a football game every single week, and especially if he's putting the ball into the other team's hands, it just isn't going to happen. 803 0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And again, look, I'm not competent enough to get into analysis paralysis. And you know, Tom, on the T-back formation, because I'm just going to get lost. And it won't do any of us any good. By the way, Roswell Park is hosting a prostate cancer screening event at KeyBank Center this Thursday, November 16th, from 3 until 7 p.m., featuring appearances by Sabres alumni, a tour of KeyBank Center, refreshments, and more. Participants are asked to register in advance by going to roswellpark.org/onegoal. Men 45 to 69 are eligible, so do register today. Attending this one event has the potential to save your life. All right, I just want to be sure about this because I don't want to cut something off too early, but on the other hand, I don't want to beat you guys over the head with something that you're like, so 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And remember, you and I, we have a relationship, and sometimes our relationship, it's usually pretty good. It usually is pretty good. But you know, sometimes I miss the mark on what it is you want to talk about. I just know what I heard being talked about at lunch today, and I thought, well, now there's a topic to get into. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. But if we're done with the Bills, we're done with the Bills. I'm afraid that this year the word is hapless. And now that Ken Dorsey is gone, if I'm Sean McDermott, my head is on a swivel. And it may just be that the current brass at One Bills Drive may very well have taken this team as far as it is going to go. And maybe it's time for wholesale changes. After all, they've worked wonders for the Buffalo Sabres over the anyway, it is. And then I've got people who are contacting me saying, Tom, when are you going to get it? And I ask myself often the same question, when am I going to get it? But no, people are telling me, Tom, you don't understand. All professional sports are fixed. There are billions of dollars at stake with the gaming community. And you need to understand, Tom, in the real world, these games have nothing to do with the better team, the worst team. It's all a giant fixed thing on behalf of the gamblers. Well, to that, I would say that is one hell of a big conspiracy. And it's very hard to keep that kind of conspiracy on the down low for 60 years, however long it's been. Now, the Black Sox scandal in baseball, and if you're not familiar with that, I would suggest that you look it up, because that was absolutely an example of players being on the take from organized crime to throw a World Series, and they did, and it absolutely was fixed. And if you ever look up the history of a man named Arnold Rothstein, you will understand it was fixed. You'll understand that the players involved were really, really upset at the owner of their team, and they basically figured, hey, he's not paying us, so we'll pay ourselves. And the irony is, those guys got screwed. Imagine that. Those guys got screwed by the people who were, shall we say, trying to corrupt the game. Let's go. Say it ain't so, Joe. Let's go to Sam of Williamsville. Sam, you're on WBEN, and before you even start, let me just tell you, we have giant coyotes in Williamsville now, so if you've got little dogs, little cats, make sure to keep them inside or keep your eyes on them at all times, because these coyotes aren't eating ants to get this big. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I think you're hitting the nail on the head. I guess one word that stands out to me is they are underachieving based on their talent base. And there is something, if you look at the body language, like I think you captured, particularly on Josh Allen, he looks like he almost was in tears last night at the end of that game. And he's got that shock look on his face.
Yes.
And I guess if you were looking at it from an organizational standpoint, you really gotta look at the very top. All right. You know, I like McDermott, but you know they have, you know, right now they've got a situational leadership issue. They have the talent base. I think the talent base is there, but they are underachieving, and they should be, you know, they should have probably maybe lost one or two games right now.
But do they, when you consider, sir, when you consider, Sam, the injuries this team has suffered, is it really the talent base with all of the injuries that can carry them to Super Bowl victory?
Yeah, an excellent team is next man up, all right? You know, they're not totally depleted yet, but they should have the depth within their infrastructure, all right, to still win football games. You know, unfortunately, that's the name of the game. Winning is everything, all right? And in this day and age, when you're paying backup people multi-million dollars, they need to produce when they get their shot. And shame on them if they don't have player B and C, you know, at the center position, for example. You know, they have I did suspect that they were having some offensive coordinator issues based on some of the play calling. But they've got like a Babe Ruth quarterback, world-class quarterback. One of the best in the NFL. But they've got, you know, at times, you know, even last year, you know, they had a little undercurrent of friction from the leadership of Diggs. You know, he sort of whined and cried a little bit in the last game when he didn't have the ball thrown to him. And they have problems on both sides of the ball, don't get me wrong. I mean,
Pardon my interruption, Sam. I do beg your forgiveness for that. But I hate interrupting people. I know that I do it all the time, and I'm really sorry. The situation with Cincinnati last year and Stephon Diggs and his interaction with Josh Allen on the sideline, that pointed, at least to me, you know what, that whole, well, Stephon is going to be Stephon. Stephon is going to do Stephon. It seemed to me to be a really selfish and divisive thing for Stephon Diggs to do. You don't air your dirty laundry in public. And when that happened toward the end of that game in the playoffs last year against the Cincinnati Bengals, I thought to myself, you know what, there are problems on this team that go deeper than we might think. And I'm concerned about that because, like many people, and I hate to even use the term, but the 1970s, 80s, the bickering Bills. And I hope we're not going to descend back into that. Now, continue your thoughts unimpeded by the idiot on the radio.
No, you're not an idiot. I appreciate your thought process. I agree. It was selfish. And an individual player on a team has to be unselfish. It's like the golden rule. You know, you're going to make mistakes. Diggs is going to make mistakes. They're all going to make mistakes, but it's next play on. You know, get back to 100%. But they're mentally, I don't know if, you know, you talk about mental toughness. They make a tremendous amount of errors. You know, just they're all over the map in terms of lack of consistency this year.
And stupidity. I mean, outright stupidity. I mean, that's what, Sam, I need you to hold on, my friend, because I'm a prisoner of the clock, but let's continue this thought. What bothers me is the outright stupidity that we've seen. So you go back and you look at so many of the penalties that they have taken this year, stupid penalties, and then the coup de grace, literally the shot in the head, may very well have been last night with the 12th man situation. That's just embarrassing. That's a mistake you expect in Little League. You don't expect it in the NFL Monday Night Football when your team is trying to claw its way into playoff position. Talking about, and again, as simple as possible, because, look, I'm not a football expert, and I'm not going to lie to you and say I am when I'm not. I look at the big picture, and I can't offer you X's and O's analyses of plays. I can't do it, and I must admit my shortcomings, but I can see the big picture. And let's get back to Sam in Williamsville. Sam believes the team does have the talent, but Sam, let's say the team does have the talent. What's missing?
Right now, an attention to detail, I would say, with whatever X's and O's that they do have. And I'm not a football expert either, but just from an organizational standpoint, they're just not getting it done. Too many mistakes. I mean, the classic one was last night, and yeah. McDermott even said it. It was inexcusable. They'd actually practiced that three times in the past week, and then they had that mental slippage. Can you imagine, Tom, as a head coach, how pissed off he must have been or must be today? They had that game won, even though they played poorly, and they made that mistake with 13 seconds on the clock.
May I tell you something that you might disagree with me on, and that's totally okay. You don't have to agree with me on everything. If I'm Sean McDermott, first person I'm looking at is that guy looking back at me in the mirror. Because the buck stops there at the head coach's position.
It does. It always does. You know, suppose they were 0-10 right now.
Oh.
Right? I mean, his job would be on the line, or it should be. To take a dip in performance from where they have been. And again, I'm a McDermott fan. I think that his entire body of work has been exceptional. But it's, you know, if you look at it, and again, from a business perspective, and it is a business as it is a sport, you know, the name of the game, we hate to say it in this day and age, the name of the game is high performance. It's winning. You know, and you got a multi-million-dollar organization. You know, Pegula's the CEO, and you know, we're paying McDermott, you know, probably $5 million plus a season. He just got an extension last year. Adam Beam, you know, probably over $1 million. You know, I mean, they've done a good job over the last 5 years. Don't get me wrong, but you've got to maintain your performance level. You can't take a dip. Right now they're just playing, you know, they're winning one out of every two games.
Yeah, Sean McDermott, $8.5 million a year, by the way, Sean McDermott.
Is that right? Oh my God.
Yep. Not bad.
And he's a good guy. You know, he's a good guy and a high quality coach. I question whether or not he ought to be doing the defensive calls right now instead of being the
hey, they're doing pretty overall. Well. They're doing pretty well, except the drives that come down to deciding games. I mean, that's what gets me.
Well, it's a shame because, you know, I, along like yourself, and the majority of Buffalo, have such a strong emotional attachment to the Buffalo Bills. They're such a great thing, and we have such a great fan base. And right now, we basically have I think we basically still have a great team, but the key word, like I said, they're underachieving. And that's the most frustrating thing, I think, from a fan base, or it should be from a Pegula, McDermott, or Bean, or anybody in the organization. And, hey, look, you got to perform. And I just think it's, you know, and part of their problem, it's right now it's mental toughness, you know. They're just making too many mistakes, and they're not poised, and they're not fine-tuned, and they're not maximizing all their resources. I don't know. I really couldn't put my finger on it, but they've got I don't know if they'll be able to correct it. They may not. If they don't, they may not make the playoffs. And if I was a betting man, which occasionally I am, I wouldn't put them. Their performance doesn't dictate a Super Bowl win right now.
No, it doesn't even merit a playoff appearance right now. And as of right now, they'd be on the outside looking in. But you know, the question is to me, and I got to let you go here. But you know, the question is to me, you know, how far up the food chain are they going to be willing to make changes? Is Sean McDermott's position in any jeopardy? Is Bean's position in any jeopardy? At what point is it the players? At what point is it the coach? And at what point do you have to say, you know what? Great job, Sean McDermott, but you've taken this team as far as it can go. It's time to bring in somebody else. I don't know the answer, but we'll see.
Sam? I don't know how this backup interim is going to be, but I would find the best, a world-class offensive coordinator, a world-class defensive coordinator, best in the business, all right, pay him a boatload of money, have him come in, re-engineer both sides of the ball, and see if they get it done. And again, the bottom line is wins, losses. And
I got a break. I have to go. It's been a great pleasure. I appreciate it very much, Sam in Williamsville. It is 2 minutes before 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and it is Bowerly with you on the radio on a Tuesday after Monday Night Football, which did not end very well for the Buffalo Bills or those of you who went to the game.